We hope you find this WILL podcast to be valuable. A $10 voluntary credit card contribution at willpledge.org will help us continue to make podcasts of our programs available. Thank you. And that address again is willpledge.org. WILLPLEDGE.ORG. Now here's your program.
At 11 this morning, range from 67 degrees at Lincoln to 72 at Jacksonville and Galesburg. An area of high pressure will drift across the state today. This will bring clear skies and light winds to most of the region. An excellent day is expected as the high pressure ridge produces mostly clear skies and seasonable temperatures. Dry and mild weather is forecast to persist through the middle of the week. High temperatures today will range across the mid-60s across northern Iowa to the near 80-degree mark across southern Missouri. Overnight lows will range from the mid-40s across northern Wisconsin to near 60 across the Missouri Boot Hill and western Kentucky. The rest of today's forecast, mostly sunny skies, the high 78 degrees. Tonight, partly cloudy, the low 55. For tomorrow, partly sunny, the high 75, and we'll have west winds 10 to 15 miles an hour. For tomorrow night, partly cloudy skies, the low 48 degrees, mostly sunny Thursday, the high 65. For Thursday night, partly cloudy, the low 48. Partly sunny Friday with a high of 68. Friday night, partly cloudy, the low down to 45 degrees. Partly sunny Saturday with a high of 68. Saturday night and Sunday, partly cloudy skies, the low 48, the high 75. For Sunday night and Monday's forecast, we're expecting partly cloudy skies, the low 55, the high 75. Right now, 72 on Friends Plaza. At Willard Airport, we have 69 degrees, 68 in Bloomington, 72 in Danville, 70 in Decatur and Kankakee, 72 in Mattoon, 73 in Paris, and 70 degrees in Rantoul. Again, 72 on Friends Plaza, and the barometer at 30.03 inches. At 12:39, you're listening to the Afternoon Magazine. I'm Jeff Bossert. For the next three Tuesday nights, beginning this evening, the University of Illinois College of Medicine is giving a series of lectures to give us a greater understanding of issues related to obesity. Observations of Obesity, it's an educational course aimed at describing the science behind it. Joining us this afternoon to discuss that lecture series and the areas that will be covered in the lectures, Dr. Callie Els. Thanks for joining us.
It's my pleasure, Jeff.
It seems as though that we know obesity is something that we all know is a really large problem, but maybe not be aware of some of the issues behind it. Can you talk a bit about how this series came together? What areas that you wanted to focus on?
Well, the series is set up by the College of Medicine, and they've divided it into three sections. The first week, they'll be talking about mainly the background, the underlying causes of obesity, in other words, the basic sciences. The next week, they'll be going into more the social aspects and the psychological aspects of obesity. And then they're going to end up the series with discussions on how you can treat obesity.
And you're part of the first one this evening. That's correct. It sounds like maybe the more broad of the three lecture series, some of the more basics will be covered tonight.
Absolutely. In the College of Medicine, we have excellent scientists and very good physicians. And as usual, the physicians put the difficult part onto the scientists to talk about. Mm-hmm. Obesity itself is an extremely complex disease, and there is no one definite cause about it. But over the last 10 to 15 years, there's been an exponential advance in our understanding of some of the scientific implications of obesity. And that is what I will be addressing in my talk. Just give people an idea of why some people become obese and other people do not become obese. Is it simply a matter of overeating and not doing enough work, which is probably the main cause of obesity? But there are other reasons why one can become obese.
Certainly. I mean, there's issues that will further be discussed in other lectures about family dynamics and, as you mentioned, and perhaps the family dynamics, the home life, how that's related to it, perhaps overeating, maybe after depression, some issues related. Sure. And I'm just speculating here, but perhaps, you know, if you lose a job or relationships, so that, I guess, the family dynamics will be a large part of that. We have three lecturers, I believe, for every one of these series.
For every section we have. And yet, as you said, that psychological problems like depression is one of the causes of obesity, but not the major one.
What tends to be the biggest underlying cause when we research this?
The major cause underlying obesity is simply that you eat too much and you expend too little energy.
And you're not going outside for a walk or riding your bike.
Absolutely.
Or,
you know. As you have in the College of Medicine, I find students take the elevator for one floor. It's right next to the staircase. Mm. Yeah.
Well, again, tonight, that's at 6:30 tonight. These are all three will be at Eastland Suites,
Hawthorne.
In Champaign. At Eastland Suites in Champaign, we have the broadest lecture tonight. Next week will be Psychosocial Dimensions. We can actually mention here also tonight will be with Dr. William Marshall, yourself, Dr. Kobe Ells, and Nathan Walker, talking about clinical manners of obesity. Dr. Marshall will discuss obesity basics. Next week we'll have three other doctors talking about family dynamics, childhood obesity, community activity and obesity, and October 4th at 6:30, treatment options. I assume there are a lot of procedures tied to obesity. I know someone who had gastric bypass surgery, but there are a lot of obviously a lot of different treatments and medications and surgeries
Absolutely, surgery is not the only way you can treat obesity. As we learn more about the science underlying obesity, we also realize that there are certain hormones that you can treat and that you have to look into the genetics of the patient as well.
And people need to register for this, correct?
Yes, they
do. And they can go to the College of Medicine. That's med.illinois.edu. This is, again, a three-lecture series. They're all at 6:30, and they are at Eastland Suites. Anything else you'd like to focus on this afternoon to encourage people to attend?
I think they really should do, because obesity is, especially in the United States, is a huge problem. I was amazed to find that about 25% of all health care in the United States is spent on treating obesity and its related problems. We have approximately 30 or more diseases associated with obesity, from diabetes, heart failure, all the way through.
And probably a lot of people are unaware of that, and perhaps putting on some weight may not realize how possible a lot of these can be when you tend to overweight and perhaps not getting enough exercise.
Absolutely.
Dr. Cully Ells from the Department of Molecular and Integrative Physiology at the U of I. We're talking about the lecture series on obesity beginning tonight. They're off at 6:30, and again, to register for those, med.illinois.edu. Thanks so much for coming in.
You're most welcome.
You're listening to the Afternoon Magazine. Television networks are struggling in a changing marketplace. Some networks hope to capture viewers by dipping into the past. TV critic and commentator Eric Deggans has been watching two new shows, The Playboy Club and Pan Am.
By 1960 standards, Maureen has a pretty good setup. She's a young, pretty blonde, fresh in from Fort Wayne, Indiana, with a job at the coolest night spot in town, Chicago's Playboy Club.
But I built a place in the Tottenham town where everything was perfect.
But she's also a symbol of what ails NBC's the Playboy Club. It's a transparent homage to the Mad Men era of Rat Pack songs and sleek suits.
Broken and fantasies became realities for everyone who walked through the doors.
The opening even features narration and an implied blessing from Playboy founder Hugh Hefner himself. But for all its nostalgic glamour, NBC's Playboy Club is stuck between its roots in a male-dominated fantasy and the reality of women's prominence in modern television. Because we're watching it in 2011, Playboy Club has female characters argue for bunny work as empowerment, the best option for an ambitious woman in a troubled world. An African-American self-described chocolate bunny explains this to Maureen.
Honey, I'm just saying, life is always going to be rough out there. But we're in here. We're at the party. And the party just started.
But because this is also about the Playboy life, these women's jobs and success depend on serving and pleasing men. Worst of all, because this is network TV, the show commits a cardinal sin in Hugh Hefner's hedonistic universe. It isn't sexy. You heard right. NBC made a show about the Playboy Club that has almost no actual sex in it. That's not a problem for ABC's Pan Am. Here, the airline stewardesses emerge as the ultimate symbol of button-down beauty as the camera lingers on their wide eyes, occasional cleavage, and tight skirts. It's a decidedly male vision that at times seems sexier than anything the Playboy Club has to offer. But it's also beauty which comes at a price, as new flight attendant Laura soon discovers. She lands on the wrong side of the airline's grouchy stewardess wrangler, who ruthlessly enforces a detailed dress code.
Hands, are you wearing your girdle?
Yes, ma'am. Oh.
There's a rip in your stocking.
Yes, I know. Can you help me? My flight leaves in less than an hour.
Here, the nostalgia on tap is for the jet age. The first time you could fly a plane anywhere in the world on an hour's notice, with more legroom than you find in today's airport lounges. So what if the only way for a woman to get ahead in this world is by serving drinks in the sky, enduring girdle checks, and fleeing oppressive marriages? In the end, both Pan Am and the Playboy Club attempt the same balancing act that Mad Men actually pulls off. They bask in the sexy glamour of the 1960s while also exploring its oppressive reality. But for these series to work, they need to dig deeper, moving beyond the superficial glitz of a time when too many people's lives were unfairly limited. Otherwise, the Playboy Club and Pan Am will celebrate a time when women had less freedom and less power. That's a history lesson no one needs to learn.
TV critic and commentator Eric Deggans.
WILL is a member-supported service of the College of Media at Illinois.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Tuesday. It's the 20th of September, 2011. It's the birthday of the sci-fi and fantasy writer George R.R. Martin, born 1948, Bayonne, New Jersey. Time magazine named him one of the 100 most influential people in the world this year, called him the American Tolkien. Most famous